Welcome to episode 242 of the Family Podcast Network. You're a duty head.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is August the 21st, 2013. Our topic for today is, what if siblings really could get along? Today we're going to speed through the intro segment a little quicker than normal. We got some feedback about what if we sped up intro segment a little bit. I don't disagree, and so we're going to do that today. Guys, let's jump into a real brief and modified version of our housekeeping today. Guys, if you want to get notified of new episodes, all you got to do is go to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, name and email address, and you'll get updates on every new episode. Make sure that you don't miss out on that one episode. If you just had heard it this week, it could have changed everything. Guys, don't forget to go like us on Facebook. We've been having lots of activity over there, lots of new likes, etc. Come check us out over there. We talk about ideas, thoughts, theories, and sometimes just really funny junk that's on the Facebook memes. Come check us out. It's facebook.com, The Family Podcast. Also, guys, you might want to check out the blog. I'm serious, guys. Our blog is amazing. It's written by the illustrious Corey Gibson. Go check it out. She writes really practical stuff. All the stuff that we talk about in this show, she talks about when we put it into practice, what experiences do we have. You definitely want to go check it out. It is so good. I guarantee that you'll be blown away when you read it. Especially for you guys that are more bloggers and you enjoy the reading part of it. That is the way for you. Guys, don't forget you can always support the show at 30 cents per episode if you feel like you're getting three dimes out of every single one of these. Consider becoming a PTACer. You can do that at you can do that at $5 a month, or you can do it for $50 for an entire year-long experience. You do get access to premium, absolutely premium stuff that is available only to you as a PTACer. So consider doing that. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts or concerns, something you wanted to hear us talk about, or something you wanted to see added, there's always lots of ways you can do that. You can always email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can also call us on SpeakPipe. So if you have your computer, you click on that Ask Trey a Question on the very right side, the little green button. Whenever you do that, as long as you have a microphone connected to your computer or some kind of headset with a microphone, you hit record. You can record a voicemail just like you would if you had a phone. Hey, what if you say, but Trey, I want to do it on my phone. Not a problem. 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT-0. Call that up. You can leave us a voicemail. Nobody will answer that, but it will go to a voicemail that we can see about sticking on the show. Guys, you can also contact us at Facebook with instant messages, etc., and check us out that way. Guys, if you're looking for ways to listen to the show, maybe you feel like you're stuck on your computer. Lots of different ways you can listen to this show. Don't forget to go check us out at Stitcher. You can always download Stitcher onto your Android or Apple device and then search for our show and save it in there. Stitcher is one of my personal favorites. You can also do it on the podcasting app through iTunes as well. And then you can listen to the show on here. All right. How was that, guys? We blew through that dadgum thing in almost half the amount of time that our stuff normally takes. So we're going to see if we can start speeding this up a little bit to jump us into our topics for today. Like we are today going to talk about what if siblings could really get along. That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about eliminating some of at least the major sibling rivalry and fighting that maybe either you can see, or if your kids are too little, that you eventually could see. Because let's be honest, I mean, we get this picture in our minds of just siblings absolutely duking it out and fighting, and it may be a reality in your household, and it drives us bonkers. Well, a lot of this is precipitated by the fact that in our household, we have run into a lot of issues with that starting about 6 months ago with the kiddos. They're just reaching that age where we started to notice that there was a little bit of increase in that. So Corey and I got fairly aggressive. Maybe aggressive is not the right word, but in terms of trying to find a solution to that. How do we work this out to where our kids aren't at each other's throat? Because we desire, I think, like most parents, to see our kids grow up and be at peace with one another. And to be in a state to where they're kind to each other and that they're thoughtful and that they're helpful to each other and that they see each other as close-knit family, not somebody that they hate until they get out the door. But I think a lot of times the reality for us is that this picture of the siblings just going bonkers and berserk on each other is absolutely the reality. Let me play you guys a little clip. This actually comes from the show Multiplicity. And it's one of my favorite scenes in there. I call it the duty head scene.
Jennifer, keep it down, hon.
He took it.
Zach, give it back to her. I'm telling you, Zach, give it back to her.
Duty head! Duty head! Duty head! Duty head! Duty head!
Duty head! Duty head! Hey, 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 hey! Both duty heads, get up there. It's bath time. Go on up there. Don't come out till you're married.
So in a lot of cases, this is what we think of. That escalatory, where things are spiraling out of control, where siblings are just, you know, almost exponentially increasing the rage at each other's. And so I want to be very careful to make sure that I'm not trying to imply today through the topic or through anything else that we can do certain things to completely eliminate the possibility of all conflict or something like that with siblings, because I don't think that's possible. I mean, conflict is going to happen, and the reality is that more than likely they're picking up on bad habits, more than likely from us or somebody around them. And so there's just going to be those times where they're just not going to handle things as well as they could, or maybe as well as they should, however you want to say that. And so I'm not trying to set up some kind of like false hope here that this is like a panacea, an elixir, that if you just take this, you know, these things we're going to talk about today, then you'll never have problems again, because that's not true. But I'm going to go Morpheus from the Matrix on you. What if I told you that siblings really could get along? So I think some of the things we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, why is it that siblings don't? So let's just, we're going to assume, maybe you don't even believe me yet, but let's start with the supposition that the reality is that siblings absolutely can get along. Let's start out with the supposition of that. What if they are not getting along to it? Why is that? Several reasons that I think. Number one is many kids don't have any benefit for doing so. There's no value in it to him anyway, because if they can get really mad and yell, "Duty head!" If they can just yell that at each other and it brings some level of emotional relief, I mean, seriously, who wouldn't change? You know, there's no benefit to doing it, because in reality, often little kids, little siblings are getting away with things that, you know, they shouldn't be getting away because they're little, or big kids are getting away with things because they're big. And there's no benefit to being kind to each other, right? It's a lot of time what we refer to is just the noticing mentality. And it's the only time that we really notice our kids is whenever they are screwing up, right? And it's a major ailment amongst parents across the nation, myself included, is that sometimes we have a tendency to only step in with our kids when they're not getting it right. And so what happens is, kids are doing things right, they're getting it the way we want it to, and we don't say a word to them. But the minute that they screw up, that's whenever all of a sudden we come a-stepping in. You see, there's no benefit to doing it right in a lot of cases. A while back, I've told the story a few times over the last year or so, but there was a while back where we were having a major problem with our kids not wanting to clean up their room. And so we would, you know, we tried all the different things under the sun that we could think of. And finally one day, and they weren't really working. Finally one day I realized that I hardly ever noticed it whenever they were. So one day I came in and I noticed that the kids were starting to pick up some things in the room. So I came in, I said, "Hey guys, really good job picking up your room." You see, they liked that. So guess what happened? Everybody started grabbing toys and putting them up because they liked that. You see, all of a sudden, I ascribed a benefit to the fact that they were cleaning. In most cases, there was no benefit to it. The only benefit was that, well, at least Daddy's not griping at us, but that was rarely at least ever enough to really motivate them to clean up their room. But you see, I started adding a benefit to it. Whenever they would clean, I would make a conscientious effort to come in and notice them. and brag on them and tell them how well that they were doing, how much I appreciated it. You see, I added a benefit to it, but the reality is in many cases, there is no benefit to siblings getting along. We don't notice it. We don't pay attention. We don't acknowledge them when they do it. We're not teaching siblings to notice each other when they're doing it. And so the reality is, who doesn't, when you're in the middle of a fit of anger, not just want to call that person a duty head, metaphorically speaking, maybe literally. But there has to be benefit to it. And I think one of the reasons why, primary reasons why kids have such a hard time getting along is that there isn't. Number two, the kids aren't taught alternatives. Right? We'll often get in there, like we talked about earlier. Our kids get in there, they make us upset, we walk in, we grouch at them and gripe at them and tell them this is not the way they're supposed to do it, and then we walk out. Figure out your problems, kid. We don't offer them any alternatives. We don't teach them, we don't guide them into any alternatives. Well, that ain't good. That doesn't help them that much, because the reality is we're not looking at, at least in terms of this current crop of kiddos that I've seen in the majority, we're not seeing a whole bunch of kids that are really good at problem solving. They really do need our help to learn how to problem solve. Now, when I'm saying taught no alternatives, I'm not saying that that means that you come up and you tell them, well, you should do this, or you should do this or this. What I'm saying is that they're not taught how to evaluate and come up with alternatives. Hey, listen, it's not okay to kick your sister whenever she crawls across you like that. You can't just kick her off of you like that. What else can you do? Well, you know what? Maybe spitting in her face isn't a good idea either. How would you feel if I spit in your face? I wouldn't like that. Okay, so what else? What are some other ideas? Getting them thinking to come up with alternatives is a good idea. And if our kids don't have any alternatives, it's just so easy for them to turn to the most emotionally gratifying way of handling it, which is, you know, verbally kicking them in the face, or maybe literally kicking them in the face. So another reason why our kids are not getting along is that we're not teaching them how to, basically. Whenever they want to turn to the hurtfulness, we're not teaching them anything alternative. Number three, I think this is a major one, and I think it's an under-talked about one, but we don't push property rights with our kids. What do I mean when I say property rights? What I mean is that there are things that are our kids' property. They belong to them. They are not mine. They are not yours. They are not brothers. They are not sisters. They are 100% their property to do with, to use, or to loan as they see fit. And the only person that can dictate that is our kids. Yes, I do even count that in terms of, are there things that I will not take away from my kids? Absolutely. There are toys of theirs that I will not take away because it is their personal property. But I think because we lack these property rights in many cases, little kids will often take advantage of big kids. I've seen big kids take advantage of some of the younger kids before, even in my own household. But because there's no property rights, because there's no reason for little brother or little baby brother to respect bigger brother's stuff, relationships begin to degrade. And I think that's one of the reasons why siblings are having a hard time getting along. Last, guys, this is by no means a comprehensive list. Don't hear me say, these are the four, and that's it, and they all fit into these categories. I don't believe so. I bet we could probably come up with more if we really sat down and thought about it. However, for the sake of the length of this show, I'm not going to go through a comprehensive list of this. The number four reasons why our kids don't get along, there's no requirement to work it out. So it's just too easy to plow through somebody relationally. Because kids aren't required to work it out or to come up with mutually satisfying, you know, compromises. One kid can run over the other kid because they don't have to work it out. If one kid is playing with another one, maybe there's a toy involved, and one of the person has that toy, and the other one starts screaming and crying. Often to shut the screaming and crying up, we do what? Maybe we force them to share, or we just tell them to get up and leave. But what happens is there's no reason for them to work it out. They don't have to work out the conflict because mommy and daddy aren't going to make them do anything anyway. So those are just four reasons I put together as to why are we seeing such a problem with siblings. I've already thought about three more even while we're doing this. But once again, we just don't have time today. It really doesn't matter as much as it matters. Let's talk about what we need to do different. So today is we're gonna get close here to jumping into what can we do with our kids if we are dealing with, or we want to make sure that we do not deal with, like siblings squabbling and fighting, etc. I want to get into one thing, kind of a disclaimer, if you will. Remember this, guys. If your siblings are already fighting, the siblings in your household are already fighting with each other, it will likely take time, it will likely take consistency, and it will likely take diligence before you'll see this get out. So in other words, don't do the classic. You take this stuff we talk about here and you run with it for a day or a week and then come back and say, well, this didn't work. You know, that was one of the things when I used to do counseling and therapy years ago. It was one of my number one pet peeves is when I would give somebody something and they would go and try it, and I would meet with them the next week and they see, yeah, it didn't work. So I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that you tried one day for 1 hour, one thing that I suggested, and that didn't work? Of course, that was often, I mean, that wasn't a bad thing to hear, because for us, that was symptomatic. I mean, okay, obviously we're having a problem with consistency, or at least we maybe have a skewed perspective of what consistency is. But we got to be diligent with this stuff. We got to keep trying. We have to be consistent and don't give up on this stuff. If you just give it some time, it's likely you'll start to see results. So what can we do whenever it comes to helping our kids not fight, not bomb each other? What can we do? Number one, notice whenever your kids are kind to each other. That's addressing that first one that we talked about earlier. There's no benefit to them doing it the right way. We've got to make it beneficial to them. I'm not saying that you give them a piece of candy every single time they do something kind. Maybe if they do something big enough, that's something worth doing. But the mentality that we're talking about here is that we need to be noticing our kids whenever they are kind to each other. Most kiddos, really most people in general, but since we're talking about kids today, most kiddos like to be noticed. They like it whenever people notice when they do things that are good and say something about it. And when we say something about it, in most cases, the kids want to repeat the experience. There's another concept I'm actually putting together for another show, but I'll share kind of a piece of it. We have a new dog. We have a giant schnauzer named Bo for Boagrius. And Anna, my 7-year-old, has really wanted to take a part in being responsible for Boagrius. Once again, she's my little biologist, my little animal-loving little girl. And so she wants to be the one who takes Bo out. And she's been wonderful and kind and helpful and responsible with this dog. But they sometimes have an issue that whenever they'll all go outside, they'll take out Bo as well, and they won't keep his eye on him. Well, if we let him out in the front yard, we don't have a busy street, but every so often you just get the goofball plowing through that road at just way faster speeds than they should be. And I mean, all it takes is that one little time that Bo slips off and gets smushed, right? So the other day I came out and the kids weren't paying attention to Bo. And I came out, and the natural first response that I wanted to do was, you guys aren't paying attention to Bo. That's not okay. I was going to gritch at him and gripe at him for not doing what I wanted. But instead, I came out, I caught myself about to say that, and I shifted it over. And I said, hey guys, I really appreciate y'all staying and paying attention to Bo. Y'all are really good about that. And I walked back inside and watched. And the minute that I said that, Anna all of a sudden just was Hawkeye at paying attention to Bo and watching him, because I had set an expectation for that. And I had given her a reward for that, if you will, by acknowledgement. And it felt good and she liked it. And what did she want to do? She wanted to repeat the experience. So I noticed it again next time and again next time. So how do you do this with a kid? It can be as simple as this comment right here. You are such a good brother. You're a wonderful sister. Did you know that? You are such a kind person. Just acknowledging these things. And acknowledge these things in front of their little sibling, little sister or brother. The other day, the kids were eating some breakfast, and they were getting to have some new kind of cereal or something like that. New cereals in our household. My goodness, it might as well be Christmas. I like new cereals. But we were eating a new cereal the other day, and we'd put Charlotte up on our couch. Now, our couch is humongous because we live in a less than 800-square-foot house. and we have the six of us, we have to really get creative about how we do space. And so we've put just about every major furniture on risers. Literally, we're talking like four-inch risers, 4 to 6-inch risers in many cases. But we put them on there to raise them up so we can store stuff underneath the couches and whatnot and trundle beds, or little trundle drawers, goodness gracious. So we'd pulled Charlotte, our one-year-old, up on that, and we had left to go in the kitchen to just kind of monitor cereal output and whatnot, make sure we weren't making big messes. And all of a sudden, Charlotte wanted to get down. And my son was just like, "Oh, Dad, I'll get her down for you." And he jumped out of his chair on new cereal day and ran in there and helped guide his sister down and carried her over there so where she could see us and dropped her off near the kitchen. And it was just kind of precious. But I really made sure to affirm he was being such a good brother. Just so kind and so thoughtful and so sweet to little Charlotte. And you can see it made him feel really good. Made him feel real good. So make sure that you are noticing when your kids are doing what we want them to do and being what we want them to be with each other. You may say, "Well, Trey, they fight so much, it's hard to do that." If they're not fighting, then go brag on that. Number two, teach them to do the same type of reinforcement with each other. Get your kiddos, in other words, noticing whenever one of their siblings is being kind to them. So just kind of reiterating these situations before, the other day my 3-year-old was getting ready for some breakfast, and she was trying to reach one of her specific cups that she loves, and she just couldn't quite reach it. She tried a chair. I mean, she really did try to solve her problems. And so my oldest daughter, who is 7, Anna, heard Cora having a hard time getting this glass, and she just jumped up from right in the middle of playing a video game. She jumped up, and she ran in there, and she got a cup and brought it to her. Said, "There we go." So I really took that as an opportunity to say, "You've got such a sweet sister, don't you? Wasn't that very kind of her to do?" So once again, it's repeating. It's wash, rinse, and repeat of the same mentality earlier. We want to get our siblings actively noticing when another sibling does something kind to them. Because the same concept applies, is that most people want to repeat whenever somebody's noticed that they've done something. So if we can get our kiddos noticing those things in each other, then it helps them want to repeat it again. Number three, enforce property rights. What does that have to do, Trey, with kids getting along? I think it has almost everything. Here's the way we approach it in our household. If something is our kid's property, it is their property. There is this no, it's your property until you don't bring home good grades and we're going to take it from you. It is their property. We do not touch it. We cannot take it because it is theirs. Other siblings, doesn't matter how little they are or whatever else, don't get to tear up their property or rip it up or kick it around or throw it. Yeah, that's right. I mean, like, even if it's our little one-year-old and she has one of their toys, we don't let her throw other people's toys around because it is their personal property. Another piece of this is we don't require our kids tell them that they have to share. We do not tell them they have to share. Why, Trey? Why would you not teach them to share? Because the reality is, forcing sharing is not forcing share, is not sharing at all. It's not at all. I just read an article just today that I found on Facebook. It was a really well done article. But they have found that kids who are not forced to share with other kids are more sharing than those who are forced. I mean, tell me that's not fascinating. But I want to recommend the same rules for you. Maintain property rights with your kids. Let them have the things that are theirs. Don't let other people tear and shred up stuff, and make sure that they know that they never have to share with others. Number four, don't allow your littles to overrun the bigs and vice versa. What am I saying? Don't let your little kids, your little one-year-olds, your toddlers, and etc., rule the roost over the older kids. I cannot tell you how many families I've seen where a little brother or a little sister absolutely own faces everybody else in the house. They are going to get whatever they want because they're the baby. And I think it's crap. But it's happening, and it happens a lot. Things like, well, you just need to share with your brother. Just share with him. Who cares? Just share your toys with him. I don't want to hear. In most cases, let's be honest with ourselves and stuff like this. Why are we saying things like this? It's not because we're really trying to teach our kids some deep ideologies of sharing. We just don't want to have to listen to their crying. We don't want to hear the whining. We cannot let our little kids rule the roost. And it's vice versa as well. We can't let big kids, just because they're smart and can articulate things better, run over little brothers and little sisters. Little brothers and little sisters, though they may leave, you know, toys laying around, that does not mean that kids get to pick them up and drop kick them. We've got to make sure that we honor those property rights. And we don't let age be some kind of definitive factor in who's going to win. Number five and last one for tonight. Require them to work it out themselves. We call it the work it out principle here. So if the kids get to fussing or fighting or hemming and hawing about not trading out iPads or something like that at the right time, we require our kids to say, guys, you guys have to work it out. If y'all can't work it out within the next few minutes, you will lose your iPads until y'all can. And we have found that incredibly effective with our kids. You need to work it out. And we don't mean that dismissive, work it out, idiot. You know, not that. It's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about we really want our kids to sit down and hash this thing out together. You know, the reality is it's very easy to plow over someone whenever you don't have to find some kind of mutually satisfactory solution. So let's put that a little differently. Whenever I don't have to find something that works for me and my wife, it's really easy for me just to plow her over. And kids are no different. And I can't tell you how many I see that are not required to work it out. Their kids don't have to work it out with each other. So I encourage that you require that your kids have to find a diplomatic solution that everybody's happy with. So for instance, we've had issues with we have several iPads and Wiis. I had somebody ask me the other day if we make a lot of money. No, I actually just buy iPads and then replace screens and parts and I get them up and running. Some of them I resell, some of them I trade and barter, and some of them we keep. So, no, we really haven't. We've never spent, really ever, out of all the iPads that we have, we've never spent a full iPad price ever, combined with all of those together. It's just been the way I've worked it out. But we'll frequently have these iPads, and they all like to kind of switch out and trade, because each one kind of have different games on each device. So they want to trade, and a lot of times one will say, it's my turn to have the blah, 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 which one? And the other one's like, no, me. And so they'll turn into this little festy-fest thing where they're just grouching at each other. But we will require them and say, guys, listen, if y'all can't work this out yourself, we're going to take up the iPads until you can. Work it out. And it's gotten now to where whenever the kids will come in, they'll be like, oh, Dad, so-and-so's doing this. Work it out. Oh, they hate that phrase, but they know I'm going to ask because I require that they do those kinds of things. And let me tell you, since we have required our kids to work it out, I have seen some cool negotiations, some cool compromises, things and ideas that they've come up with that I would never have suggested or thought to suggest for myself. So we need to require our kids to work it out. Square away their own issues and not depend on us to come up with the answer to those solutions. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. If nothing else, stay tuned for this Friday. We're going to have another episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. For all the new listeners that just picked up yesterday, the 20th, coming from TLH, we want to say welcome to you guys who are here listening to the show. I'm really glad to have y'all. Please make yourself at home. Let me know if you have any questions. We have several people around the Facebook site that I can guarantee you'd be willing to help. They're longstanding listeners, and they've got the helping heart. So consider jumping over there and ask us some questions. Let us know what you think, what you got. We'd love to have you here. For those who don't know, on Friday we do have the Real Family Guys podcast where me and my good buddy, who's also a licensed marriage and family therapist, we get together and we talk a little bit about parenting from the practical perspective. How do we take all this philosophy and put it into gear and make it work for Rubber Meets the Road? Come check us out this Friday, Real Family Guys podcast. Hope you guys have a great weekend. If nothing else, a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Friday.